Yesterday on the program, we welcomed and were delighted to have Romeo Dallaire, retired Lieutenant General, who, of course, in 1994 was at the very heart of the Rwandan genocide, and he spoke so movingly about it again yesterday. And think about that word, the Rwandan genocide, because it was never supposed to happen again after the Holocaust, never again after the Second World War. But anti-Semitism is still on the rise, and we still see genocides taking place, as we saw in Rwanda, as we see now in the eyes of the United States and the UK and many others, in China with the Muslim Uyghur population. And the term genocide was coined by a guy named Raphael Lemkin after the Second World War to try to describe what this thing, this systemic effort to wipe out a people was. It was so beyond the scope of our vocabulary. And yet the scourge of anti-Semitism remains. And in fact, yesterday it became a political issue again as there was a global conference on Holocaust remembrance and anti-Semitism in Sweden that the Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau, attended virtually. And he decided to say, look, we have had this special envoy to preserve the memory of the Holocaust and fight anti-Semitism, but we're going to make it a permanent role now. Listen to this.
We're now making the special envoy role permanent and supported by increased resources. This is in line with Canada's commitment to promote and defend pluralism, inclusion, and human rights.
And who is the special envoy? Well, in November 2020, the government actually appointed someone named Erwin Kotler to that position, but he didn't have any money or support. He was just kind of, there he was. Now, you know Erwin Kotler. He's not only the former justice minister, he's been the champion of international human rights. He's been on this program many, many times, talking about the Uyghurs, talking about many situations, and he joins us once again. It's always a pleasure to have you, sir, on the program as the now Canada's permanent special envoy for preserving Holocaust remembrance and combating anti-Semitism.
Well, Ivan, it's actually the office of the special envoy, and the special envoy position has been made permanent. I'm not going to be permanent.
You're not permanent, but the office is. But why is that significant?
I think it's significant because it institutionalizes the commitment to what was the theme of the Malmo conference that I just participated in and where the Prime Minister addressed it, preserving Holocaust remembrance and combating anti-Semitism, but translating words into action. And this will provide us with a capacity now to implement, among other things, the country pledges that Canada made at the Malmo conference, which we are to implement during the Swedish presidency of IRA, the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance, in 2022.
Tell me a bit about why this is so important now, because, look, there's a lot of hate in the world. Is anti-Semitism still a major factor? Maybe that's being overlooked in a world.
Well, anti-Semitism, we're seeing really an almost unprecedented scourge of global, virulent, sometimes sophisticated and even lethal anti-Semitism. The empirical data supports it, but it's really, you know, the people themselves who are experiencing and suffering from it. I mean, what we are seeing, and we saw this in Canada as well, where Jews are threatened and targeted in their own neighborhoods and communities, on their streets and on the campuses, where synagogues were torched, Holocaust memorials defaced, cemeteries desecrated, institutions vandalized. I can just sum it up that we had the highest level of hate crimes against Jews in 2020 ever. And by May 2021, we had exceeded that level of all of 2020. Similarly, there's been incendiary hate speech on the social media, which is unprecedented. So when you combine this with the fact that studies show that a majority of millennials are not able to name even one concentration camp, do not know about Auschwitz, the most brutal extermination camp of the 20th century, and many of them get their understandings of what has happened from the social media, and this too is replete with too much Holocaust distortion and the like, you see that we have real responsibilities to act.
It's incredible how much education there's been, but one of the reasons is there's so much There's so many hateful situations. Look at the Uyghur situation you and I have talked about. The Yazidi situation that people be like, the Yazidis, I don't remember that. In the Iraq situation, the Rohingya situation. There are stories of peoples who are almost unknown to most people, Erwin Kotler, whose plight deserves also, again, you can never compare agonies, and I never would. But it's an incredible array of agonies out there.
Well, that's it. The main thing in terms of the teaching about the Holocaust and like to see the Holocaust as a paradigm for radical evil and anti-Semitism as a paradigm for radical evil. The lesson that emerges from all these horrific mass atrocities and genocides, whether we talk about the Holocaust you mentioned before, the genocide of the Tutsis in Rwanda, what is happening now, mass atrocities, the Uyghurs, is that what makes these mass atrocities, these genocides, so horrific are not only the horrors of the genocides themselves. What makes them so horrific is that they were all preventable. Nobody could say we did not know. We knew, but we did not act. Mm. And the whole purpose now at Malmo, et cetera, is to implement country pledges so that never again is not an idle slogan, but really means implementing a plan of action.
But now, you're now the special envoy for preserving that Holocaust remembrance. But at the same token, you've been openly critical of the Trudeau government for not acknowledging that China is committing a genocide against the Uyghurs. You've been on this program arguing that it hits the threshold levels according to the Geneva laws about what constitutes a genocide. So how, on one hand, do you accept a position like this? On the other hand, say to the Canadian government, by the way, this situation is happening and you won't even acknowledge it. Not acknowledge it, but you won't even call it what you believe it is, a genocide.
Well, number one, as you know, 266 parliamentarians from all parties, including Liberal MPs, unanimously voted to condemn it as a genocide. The government at the time abstained on the vote. I think it had something to do with the two Michaels. But then thereafter, Canada did lead a resolution at the UN Human Rights Council for the first time, which condemned atrocities, though did not call it yet a genocide, and in fact has participated in Magnitsky sanctions. Read the words. We're not doing enough. We have to do more, and we have to call it out. But I'm hoping what happened at Malmo and the country pledges will result, as I said, of words becoming deeds.
Oh, is that right? So you think this could be a platform about, let's talk about this, but it's important to talk about it in context, that this may spur Canada to take tougher action on that as well?
I think that Canada has undertaken, through its country pledges, to learn the lessons of the Holocaust, to teach those lessons, to act on those lessons, and I would hope that this would find expression in the combating of mass atrocities and genocides wherever they take place and as horrific as they are.
Erwin Kotler, former MP, former Justice Minister, now Canada's Special Envoy for Preserving Holocaust Remembrance and Combating Anti-Semitism, an office which will be funded now and now is permanent, which is a big step forward on a very important issue. Always a pleasure, sir. Thank you for joining us.
Not at all. Good speaking with you.
Yeah, you too. That's Erwin Kotler. Amazing guy. He's just been fighting for rights for people for so many years.